Good morning. Good to see you all. I want to just wish everyone a happy Thanksgiving for later this week. We really do have a lot to be thankful for, don't we? Amen. Singing those songs this morning, just so grateful for the Lord and what he's done for me personally, that he gave his life for me, for his blood, for his body that was broken for me. I don't need anything else this morning. I'm just grateful, thankful for Jesus, for my Heavenly Father, and for him revealing himself to me and bringing me out of darkness and into his light. And I'm hungry for him. I just want more of him. And that's kind of what I want to look at this morning. Just God's heart and just how he longs for us to know him in a greater way, and how the invitation is always there for us to know him and to enter into a deeper relationship with him. So let's pray before we get into the word. Lord, again, thank you, Lord, for coming to me when I didn't even understand it was you I needed. I knew I needed something, but I didn't know what it was. But Lord, thank you for intervening into my life. Thank you for revealing yourself to me. Thank you for unveiling the cross to me. Thank you for laying your life down, for making a new and living way so that I can have access into what my soul desperately needed. To know you, that is salvation, to know you. And Lord, I pray as we look at your word this morning, you would just draw us in a greater way to know you deeper, to hunger, to thirst for you and you alone. Lord, I pray your word will bring about what you intend for it to bring about. Lord, I pray you'll help me, this frail, weak vessel, to convey your heart. Lord, help me to just get out of your way. Lord, I trust you. I trust your Holy Spirit. I thank you for your promises to me, to all of us, Lord. And it's you really we're looking to this morning, God. So I'm asking, Lord, would you speak to us? Lord, would you give us what we need? We need the manna from heaven, but Lord, not what they ate in the wilderness. Lord, we need you, Lord. So I pray, God, you would be the manna we feast on today as we look to your word, Lord. So bless our time together in your word, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We're going to be going to Ezekiel chapter 3, but I'm going to go to John 6 before we do that. I've had an opportunity the last few days to take care of my mom, who's in the hospital, because Diane and Frank, who typically take care of her, they're her caretakers, are away getting some much needed rest. And the Lord has used this time for me. When I'm sitting there with her and I have to feed her and just looking at her, and like, this is my mom. This is the woman that took care of me when I was like Selah. And that's what was kind of real to me. Here I am, she can't feed herself, she's forgotten how to eat, and I'm feeding her. And I realized this is what she did for me when I couldn't feed myself. All I knew to do was cry, you know, kind of let her know, Mom, I'm hungry. But my mom had to sit there and feed me. And I was just sitting there and I was like, Lord, thank you that I can do this for her right now. I don't have much patience, and she kind of fights you a little bit, doesn't want to open her mouth and stuff, but you know, you need patience. So God's been using it for me, but it's just been a blessing, and God's been speaking to me through it. And what he's been showing me is, you know, we're kind of like that. We don't understand our necessity, really, to have Jesus, to have God in a way that we need him. It's kind of like my mom right now. She doesn't understand if she don't eat, she's going to die. She doesn't even like say I'm hungry, or even when I go to feed her and I say, are you hungry? She'll say no, but when I put the food in her mouth, it's obvious she wants it. Because obviously her body still knows she needs to eat. And spiritually, that's what we're like in a sense. We don't understand how much we need to feed upon God. How much or how dependent we are really on him. You understand our souls, our spiritual lives. We are dead spiritually. We will die without God. That's why Jesus laid his life down. That's what eternal life is. It's God laying his life down, giving us access back into fellowship with him, which is where we receive life because he is our life. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And God's just been making that real to me. And, you know, I can look back kind of like we can on our human life at when I first encountered God. And in a sense, when we all come to him, we're like an infant and he has to feed us. We don't know how. And he almost has to force feed us. But we taste. We taste, right? I've been tricking my mom. The stuff she doesn't like, I'll mix it with like chocolate, something or whatever, and then she'll eat it. And that's what we're like with God. We can't handle much in the beginning, and he lovingly feeds us, and he wants us to taste and see that he's good. Here's the problem. We can't stay in that state. God's not going to force feed. If they're still having to feed her when she's 10, 15, something's wrong, right? That would not be normal. What my mom is experiencing right now, it's not normal. She's ill. She has dementia. This is not normal for an adult. But for an infant, it's normal in the beginning. But there comes a point where this child needs to learn to eat on her own. If she doesn't, if there's no one around to help her, she'll die. She needs food to exist. And it's no different for us. In Psalm 34, verse 8, it says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. And that word blessed is always tied into life, what is needed for life. In the Old Testament, there were two mountains. And one was a picture of curse. Another was a picture of blessing. One was barren, there was no life on it. And the other was flourishing and had plants growing on it and flowers. And it was a picture of blessing. And that's what this is saying. The man who trusts in him is going to be blessed, is going to have life. There's going to be growth happening in their lives. And that when it says taste, what it means is understand, observe, perceive. And we need that in the beginning. We need to understand God is good. We need to understand, yes, he is what I need. He is what my heart needs. He is what my soul needs. Taste and see. Behold, that word see means behold, consider this. Look at it. I've had time to do this, sitting there with my mom. This is the things I think about. And the Holy Spirit is just reminding me, Jeff, this is you without me. You are helpless. You're helpless. But he's also reminding me of his goodness. And I'm so thankful for the Lord. When Jesus came to the earth, John the Baptist said this about him. He said, behold, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So, as your shepherd, my job, as it were, is to lead you to him, not to me, not to a place, not to, you know, rituals or this or that. But if I'm a good shepherd, like if I have sheep, my job is to lead the sheep to water, to good grass. Why? Because if I don't, what will happen to the sheep? They'll die. Okay, when I lead them to the water, when I lead them to the grass, do I get down on my hands and knees, rip some grass out of the ground, and shove it into their mouth? No. What do? I just bring them there, and they have to eat. What's that old saying? You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. Now, in the beginning, okay, we'll put a bib on you. We'll feed you. It's right to do that for a time. But at some point, it's like, okay, there's the refrigerator, all right? Everything in there is yours. You can eat as much as you want. You can drink as much as you want. And there's a limitless supply. It's right there. There's no lock on it. You can go there anytime you want. You need to take advantage of that. But the problem is, I'm good just tasting. Now it's Thanksgiving. Who's just going to taste their food? Are you going to pull up to that table with all those nice dishes? How about later? You know, when we have this food out here. Are you just going to taste some things? I'm not. I'm eating. But that's how we are with the Lord sometimes. We're just happy to taste. And God has so much more for us. In John chapter 6, which I'll just touch on a little bit, there's a whole bunch of people following Jesus. And he turns around to them in verse 47, and he says, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. I am the bread of life." I am the bread of life. And then he says to them, "Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and they're dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die." So he's talking about a different kind of food than what their ancestors ate in the wilderness. He's talking about something spiritual. He's talking about something heavenly. It's not natural. And then he says, "I am the living bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die." And then he goes on later on. He says to them, "Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you." And it was a hard saying for them. They're like, "What's he talking about? This is a hard saying." And basically, most of them left. But I want you to understand something. He kind of exposes their heart because he says to them, "You know, you've all been following me because prior to this, you know, I fed 5,000. I've been healing people and all that. You're following me from my hand. You're tasting. You like the taste. But now what I'm saying to you is you got to ingest or you got to take all of me. I'm the one you need to partake of. In other words, you need to follow me. You need to believe my words." And that's where the line got drawn. And after they all left, he turned around to his disciples. And he said, "Do you also want to go away?" And Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, where are we going to go? You have the words of eternal life." In John chapter 1, verse 14, it says this about Jesus. "The word became flesh, and it dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." So Jesus was really saying, unless you believe my words, receive my words, ingest my words, trust in my words, and make them your life, you will have no life in you. I am the food from heaven. My word is the food from heaven that you need to feast on, that you need to pattern your life in, that you need to trust in. If you don't do that, you will die. You will die. Jesus understood what it meant to eat the Father's will. He understood what that meant. In John 4, verses 31 through 34, his disciples said, Rabbi, eat. But he said to them, I have food to eat of which you do not know. Therefore, the disciples said to one another, has anyone brought anything to eat? Well, what's he talking about? And Jesus said, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Again, Jesus understood. 1 Peter 2, verses 1 through 3 says, therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. So if you've tasted, if God has revealed himself to you, you need to begin now feeding. And it's okay to start off with milk. But at some point, you got to go to meat. So that you can grow. Grow in what? Grow in the knowledge of God. Grow in the things God desires you to grow. Mostly in the knowledge of who he is. So there's a difference between a taster and an eater. There's a difference between a hearer and a doer. James 1, verses 21 through 22 says, therefore, lay aside all filthiness, overflow of wickedness. Receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. And I'll just say this. People who claim the name Christian, but haven't entered the yoke of his word, they're self-deceived. They hear, they can even quote, but if they're not living in, if they haven't entered the yoke of the word, they're deceived. They've deceived themselves. Psalm 119, verses 4 through 6 says, you have commanded us to keep your precepts, that we should observe them diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed and established to observe your statutes. Hearing, receiving, loving, obeying them. Then I shall not be put to shame by failing to inherit your promises when I have respect to all your commandments. Okay, now we're going to look at our text. God spoke to me through this passage many years ago in Ezekiel 3. And what's happening here is God is preparing Ezekiel to go and to basically speak the word of the Lord to them. They were already taken captive because of their disobedience to the Lord. Ezekiel was a priest and a prophet, and God is preparing him for what he has him do. He's going to send him to the people to speak his word. So that's what's kind of happening here. So it says in verse 1, and this is the Lord speaking, moreover, he said to me, son of man, eat what you find in this scroll and go speak to the house of Israel. And it sounds a little strange, but just picture that in your mind. There's a scroll, and he's basically telling him to eat it. But the scroll, we understand, is the word of God. So I opened my mouth, and he caused me to eat the scroll. And he said to me, son of man, feed your belly, fill your stomach with this scroll that I give you. So I ate, and it was in my mouth like honey and sweetness. Then he said to me, Son of man, go to the house of Israel and speak my words with them. For you are not sent to a people of unfamiliar speech, of hard language, but the house of Israel. Not to many people of unfamiliar speech and of hard language, whose words you cannot understand. Surely, had I sent you to them, they would have listened to you. But the house of Israel would not listen to you, because they will not listen to me. For all the house of Israel are impudent and hard-hearted. So he's talking about people who profess to be God's people. Behold, I have made your face strong against their faces and your forehead strong against their foreheads. Like adamant stone, harder than flint, I have made your forehead. Do not be afraid of them. Don't be dismayed at their looks, though they are a rebellious house. Moreover, he said to me, Son of man, receive into your heart all of my words that I speak to you and hear with your ears. And go, get to the captives, to the children of your people, and speak to them and tell them, thus says the Lord God, whether they hear or whether they refuse. Then the Spirit of the Lord lifted me up, and I heard behind me a great thunderous voice. Blessed is the glory of the Lord from this his place. I also heard the noise of wings of the living creatures that touched one another, and the noise of the wheels beside them, and a great thunderous noise. And this is the verse we're going to look at. Verse 14. So the Spirit lifted me up and took me away, and I went in bitterness in the heat of my spirit, but the hand of the Lord was strong upon me. Again, God is preparing his servant for his work. And I just want to say this, it's out of our relationship with him. It's out of knowing him. It's out of the abiding in him and in his word that we go to others, that God sends us to people to speak his word, to be his representatives, to be his witnesses. That's what he has called us all to be. But he has to get his word inside of us. We're going to have to experience what Ezekiel had to experience, the ingesting of the things God desired for him to eat and partake of, so that God's word can produce inside of him what was necessary to go and proclaim God's word to the people. So we're going to see four things that occurred by him eating this scroll, okay? It says the Spirit lifted him up and took him away. And there's many times in Ezekiel we'll see this happening. And it's basically God letting him see what God sees. There's one part, I think it's in Ezekiel 8, where he literally, in the spiritual realm, in a sense, lets him look at what's going on inside the temple, all the abominations. And he's telling him, you see what the people are doing? You see what's going on? This is what I see. So he begins to lift him up. The picture I have is a little kid with his father in the crowd, and he's saying, Daddy, I can't see, I can't see. And the father picks him up so he can see. And that's what the father wants with us, his children. He wants us to see more than what we're seeing. He wants to open up our understanding, mostly of who he is. He wants us to understand his thoughts, his ways, his purposes. We have such a limited view. We're like that little kid sitting in a crowd that can't see much because we're little. We need help. We need the Spirit of God to lift us up out of our natural view, as I could put it maybe, and to see the things that he sees. And when we are partaking, when we are feasting on the word, the promise is the Holy Spirit will reveal truth. The Spirit of God will lift you up and cause you to start seeing what God wants you to see. I'm not talking about some crazy visions or hearing voices. I'm talking about simply God opening up his word to you and revealing truth into your inner man and helping you to see correctly. In other words, to see as he sees. Seeing from his perspective. And I think for us, a very important thing we need to see is what it means to be a Christian, what it means to truly know him. Because there's a great deception in the land. That's what happened with the children of Israel. They were professing to know God, but really their worship had become so perverted. They really were a disobedient people. I could say this is kind of like a tag along from last week's message. Every man doing what was right in his own eyes. That's kind of where we are in a large part in the church, because we're not feasting on the word. We're feasting on a lot of other things. We're getting our perspectives in a lot of other places, and we're not seeing right, and we've basically made Christianity what we see it to be. And we need our eyes open. We need to see what God sees and how God sees. So that's the first thing that happens. And then secondly, it says he went in bitterness in verse 14 there. He went in bitterness. And that word means heavy, grieved. Heavy, grieved. It's indicative of bearing the cross, bearing spiritual weight, carrying the same burden Jesus carried. We're called to do that, bearing spiritual weight, God's burden for the sins of the world. God grieves over his disobedient children. God grieves when he sees the abominations occurring in the land. He's heavy. You know, it says Jesus was a man of sorrows because he saw. Do you see? Do you see what God sees? Does it burden you? Does it grieve your heart? When I am feasting on his word, when I'm ingesting his word, when he is forming my perspectives, when I start to see God's heart, how much he really loves people, what would drive him to give his son on a cross to die for the sins of people? Because he sees sin for what it is. He sees what it does to people. He sees where it's going to lead. He sees what people can't have and what he wants to give them. And it grieves him. It's like a grieving father that loves his kid, loves him. But the kid just won't take what he's offering him. The father knows it's what the kid needs, but he just won't. So the father grieves, and it's a burden. I don't know what that's like as far as a parent, but I know what it's like as a spiritual parent. To watch someone that you care about, that you love, going the wrong way, understanding where that's leading, understanding the damage it's doing to their soul, and you grieve inside. You're heavy inside. That's God's heart. That's what he was experiencing. And when you do that, you're not going to tolerate sin in yourself or others. You're going to take a stand no matter what comes your way. You're going to do whatever it takes to reach those people, even if they hate you for it. Jesus said, they hated me, they're going to hate you. If the world doesn't hate you, you got a problem. If your unsaved friends don't hate you sometimes, you got a problem. Because they hated Jesus. Why? Because he was truth. He exposed their hearts by his life, with his words. It was all mercy. It really was. But when people don't want that, they hate you for it. But you do it anyway because you see. You see past what they're doing to you. You see past, you know, oh, they don't like me or whatever. But because you see how God sees and because you love them, you're willing to bear that, just like Jesus was. The insults, the rejection, because you see. And I'm sure Ezekiel faced a lot of it. And I'm sure if we're standing today in this day and age for the word of God, we're going to face it. Not just from the world, but from the church. God had a burden for the sins of the world. It caused him to bear the cross in Jesus. By that same cross, every person is going to be judged. What they did with it. So we share in his burden for sin and also in his reproach. And then thirdly, we go in his passion. It says he went in the heat of his spirit. And that word heat means like a bottled up fire. I like the prophet Jeremiah in Jeremiah 29. He says, his word was in my heart like a burning fire. Shut up in my bones. I was weary of holding it back. I could not. When you're feasting on God, when you're getting his heart, when you are getting his passion for souls, you can't hold that in. It's like a fire in you. It talks about the love of God being a consuming fire. God wants to consume you that way. Hebrews 12, 29 says, our God is a consuming fire. Jesus was in a fire when he overturned the tables. He was in a fire for the love and honor of his Father. He wasn't, you know, in a rage like we would be. He was in love with his Father. He was in a passion to honor and glorify the Father, and they had profaned the Father's house. And in a passion, in a fire, he went in and overturned all the tables of the money changers. It means to be eaten up, consumed by something. It's a love for God and others. That's where God wants to take us. Consumed, eaten up with him. Acts 1, verse 3 says, talking about Jesus, it says he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen by them 40 days and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And when we think about the passion of Jesus, we think about the week many times leading up to the cross. It's typically the last week of Jesus' ministry on the earth. From the time he entered Jerusalem to the cleansing of the temple to his suffering on the cross. He was in a passion to glorify the Father, a fire that led him that week to endure what no one else endured from sinners, even from his own. But nothing could quench his fire. He was consumed by it. It led him to the cross. So to be consumed with his passion, we're going to be the same way. We're going to be in a fire to lay our lives down. We're going to be in a fire to proclaim the truth with boldness. We're going to be in a fire to lay our lives down for his will. Again, a doer, an eater of the word, sees as he sees, bears his burden, enters his passion, and lastly, walks in the power of God. It says, the hand of the Lord was strong upon me. I've been encouraging you guys to be praying over Psalm 119. There's so many verses in there where the prayer is, and it's all talking about the word of God. The prayer is, quicken thy servant according to your word. And that word literally means bring to life, life me according to your word. So the word of God, it's not dead, it's living. It's God breathed. And God lifes us. He gives us what we need. What does that mean to walk in the power of God? Well, Paul said this in 2 Corinthians 12:9. My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. And Paul said, therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. In other words, again, when I've been spending time with my mom, it's like God's just been reminding me, Jeff, spiritually, this is you. This is how weak you are. But if you will feed on me, if you will trust in me, if you will look to me, I'm going to give you what you don't have in yourself. Jesus said this. He said, without him, I can do nothing. I can't do anything. But if I eat, if I do his words, I'll abide in him and I'll bear much fruit. You can't live this life. I can't live this Christian life without abiding in Christ. And the only way I abide in him is by partaking, eating his word, being a doer of the word, feasting upon him. If you do, there'll be an almighty grace that will empower you to walk as he walked. If you haven't experienced what it's like to see as God sees, bear what he bears, walk in his passion and his power, he's standing before you every moment, every hour, with a scroll in his hand. And he's telling you to eat. Eat the scroll. Eat my word. Feast on my word. So I can lift you up. I have things I want to show you. So I can give you the burden I have for souls. So when you're out and about and you're around people, you'll feel what I feel. You'll feel the heaviness. When I look in people's eyes and see the emptiness and the hopelessness, the death hanging over their heads, I want you to feel that. God wants you to feel that. God wants you to share in his suffering, in his burden for the lost, in his burden for those that are deceived, that are going astray. He wants to sit with you for a while. He wants to commune with you. He wants to communicate his heart to you. It might be hard, some of it, to ingest. We read in other places where it's sweet and then becomes bitter. But that's part of it. That's part of what we're called to walk. He wants you to know what it's like to be consumed with his fire, with his passion, to love the things he loves and to hate the things he hates. You won't experience that if you're not eating his flesh and drinking his blood. That's not a hard saying. It's simply feasting on his word. It's being a doer of his word. It's entering the yoke of his word. It's following him wherever he goes. What did Peter say? Lord, where am I going to go? Where else can I go? That's what you need to be telling yourself. Every time you're pulled somewhere else, every time you're pulled up to the world's banquet that says this is what you need. This is what you need to be eating. This is going to give you life. And God says, no, my son, my child, follow me. Let me lead you to green pastures, to clean water. Follow me. Listen to my voice. Let me speak to you the things I'm wanting to speak to you. And then know what it's like to walk in his power. God has so much for us to do. He's got so many people he wants to send you to. He's got so many people he wants to speak to through you, through your life, through your words, through your actions. But you have to come aside for a while and you have to sit at his feet and you have to learn what it is to feed upon him. So I want to just encourage you this Thanksgiving when you're eating, or maybe even today when you're eating, think about that. This is good, Lord. But Lord, I want to feast on, I want to learn what it means to feast on you, Lord, because I want to see the things I need to see. I want to see right. I want your burden. I want to start walking in your fire, in your love for people, Lord, and I want to so badly, Lord, know what it's like to walk in your power. And I'm just going to say this. We think of that and we think of, you know, it's just where we go in our minds. Like, I'm going to do miracles. And that's part of it. But the power is you're going to be able to lay your life down. Amen. That's the greatest power there is, to lay your life down for other people. So, Lord, I just want to thank you this morning. You just keep inviting us. You just keep laying out a table before us. We don't understand it as well as we need to, Lord. It's kind of like my mom right now. She doesn't understand. She has to eat. But Lord, you've made it clear to us. You keep calling out. Your voice keeps calling out. You've been wooing us, Lord. You've been trying to help us in so many different ways. I think about all the different situations in here, Lord, but we keep going somewhere else. God, help us this morning to just eat the scroll, to just let you do inside of us what you want to do, Lord. Help us to go where you're telling us to go, to you. And draw us away, Lord, as the king drew away that servant girl into his chambers. God, draw us away into those chambers with you so we can learn the things you want us to learn, Lord, so we can learn the intimacy you want to have with us and then go share that with others. So, God, I thank you this morning. And again, I'm so grateful for you. But, Lord, help me as well, Lord. I don't want to just taste. I want all you have for me, Lord. And I know that's the desire and heart of many in here today. And I pray you'll meet each one of us where we're at today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.